Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia.
Today's Gospel reading is written in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, Parable of the Wise and Foolish Girls. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Jesus.
Friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that our hope is in you as we journey on in life and we hear these texts about the end, either our own personal end or the end of all things. The completion of all things, this is where we live. So we thank you for the word today, and we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would speak your word into the hearts of all here who are gathered, so that we hear your grace, your love, your calling on our lives. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Well, friends, the scene for this particular word about the very last things is a wedding banquet. We had one of those just a couple of weeks ago in the Materne Perry clan households. I'm sure it was fun. We've all been to wedding banquets, so here we go. This is a Middle Eastern wedding, though. A little different, probably, to the way that we celebrate weddings, generally speaking. You might have picked up some strange things in the text. But I have to say, after serving in Auckland, New Zealand, for 4 years, Leanne and I and the kids, we had the privilege, I think, of learning different ways to celebrate big events in life, and that was because we had close contact with a very large Indian Lutheran community within our own congregation. And I tell you, they put our celebrations in the shade. The way they do things is very, very different. Have you been to the cricket when India is playing? That might give you a hint of how they celebrate the big moments in life. For example, Christmas, they didn't just come in for an hour for a church service and then wander off home and do the presents or whatever. They stayed all night, eating, celebrating Christmas Eve all night, and then they'd back it up next day and do it all again next day and Christmas night. They were amazing. When it came to other festivals like Easter and Pentecost, they actually pulled all-nighters in the church facilities. Family, kids, all kinds, all ages, all night, singing, praying, eating, drinking together, enjoying the celebration. So their celebrations did put our white Western celebrations in the shade, I have to say. Now, I guess in Israel and Gaza, when there is a relatively peaceful time, which is not now, the customs described here by Matthew in the parable or told by Jesus would still be recognisable. Lots of things have to happen, as they do in our weddings, but even more in the Middle Eastern mind or our Jewish mind. Lots of things need to happen And the whole process goes for a week, not just a day. And it would be not unusual to have a late night torch lit procession as the final thing before we all go into the wedding banquet. Wouldn't be out of the question. It probably would happen in some way today. So there you go. There's the wedding feast, a bit different to the ones we celebrate. But what's Jesus saying about the end? My end, your end, the end of all things, his coming, his final appearing, as John puts it, when all things will be completed and restored and weighed up, etc., etc. Seems to me that the oil is the big deal, isn't it, in this parable? The oil seems to be the key to getting in to the banquet hall, into the new life that God has promised you beyond your grave. The oil. What oil did the five wise women have? And what oil did the five unwise women lack, do you think? And this is where the parable gets very tricky. Because whatever you believe to be the oil that gets you in or excludes you is obviously the thing upon which your acceptance by God rests. For example, if you say that the oil the five wise women had plenty of was love, then unwise people obviously didn't have enough love or didn't do enough love for long enough, and so they were shut out. So, message, if you don't love enough, you're out. Try patience. Then the five foolish people obviously were not patient enough, and so they're gone. Same for faith, same for kindness, or any other virtue of the Christian life you'd care to mention. Whatever you make that oil puts the weight of your present and future in God's grace squarely on whatever that thing is. Love, patience, peace, kindness. And in the end, what does that do? It puts all the weight for your freedom and your future and your hope on you, your performance, what you have to do. And if Jesus is saying that we need to do more or be more or love more or be more kind, etc., etc., I think this turns the parable into a very heavy, weighted word of law that actually kills me. Because who of us can do enough or has enough for long enough? Hands up, not me. Not me. And therefore, angry gnashing of teeth and hopeless resignation to everything you have lost and missed out on becomes your lot. But what if Jesus is saying that the oil is something different, and it's not your love or your kindness or your patience or even your faith or anything you can manufacture or achieve? What if he's saying it's something completely different? What if instead of the good oil being a thing you have to achieve, the good oil is a thing you welcomely receive? What if the good oil is a gift, not a demand? What if the good oil that the wise five women had was a gift that made them ready for the moment, when the moment came? The good oil wasn't work to be done. The good oil was the good to be received. Well, then the parable speaks of one word. Grace. Don't you think? If it's his gift which makes you wise and gets you in, well, that's grace. And that grace fires our hearts, a thankful faith, a thankful life, a solid hope because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. I read Luther on this. He made a lot of sense. The Lord compares it, that is the Christian community, the church, to 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 foolish. The 5 foolish virgins are those Christians who give the appearance and impression of being godly. They want to be good Lutherans and are able to say much about these things. They praise the word and they say, yes, it's a splendid thing. This is what it means. It cannot possibly be otherwise according to the scriptures, etc., etc. Paul speaks of these people in 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not only in talk, but in power. It consists not in speech alone, but in life. Not in words alone, but in works. Although they are able to say much about many things, they are in reality unwise virgins who only have the lamps or the vessel. That is, the external equipment. And they behave according to their nature. As Matthew writes in Gospel of Matthew 7:22, Lord, Lord, the mouth is there, but the heart is far away. In other words, friends, the oil is not in the lamp. That is, faith is not in the heart. So Jesus is saying that the oil is his saving love, his patience, his kindness, his hope, his grace, his gift, not your work, effort, or achievement. The unwise virgins had the lamp and they had the wick, the outward equipment, as Luther puts it, but no faith, no trust, no living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No trust in him or awareness of him in their day, and reliance on him. No joy, no life with him in their day. They were all out of love. They were all out of oil. Luther goes on, they, that is the unwise people, give it, that is living trust in Jesus, no thought. Indeed, they know it not and imagine that their lamps are actually ready. Their nature is that they gladly hear the preaching about faith, and if they have heard the word, they invent and fabricate for themselves a thought, a delusion in the heart, which they consider to be oil, and yet they remain the same as before in their behavior, following their old ways. They are just as wrathful as before, just as covetous, just as unmerciful towards the poor, just as discourteous. This faith is a human-made thing. Therefore, it is just like foam on the water, or even better, like the head on a bad beer. Ah, he always gets a beer in there somewhere. It's good. Friends, isn't it true that we are all capable of being a bad head on a bad beer? We can hear sermons and we can sing songs and we can pray prayers, but we struggle to walk those words, to live those words, to rely on him for our life between Sundays, and it's just on Sunday. What the 5 unwise virgins lacked was the oil of the presence of genuine relationship to the Lord Jesus, a trust in his goodness that's more than the trust they put in all other words. They had his power and his action as gifts, and they received it with thanks. A trust for your very life today, all your directions, all your decisions, all your relationships, all your pain, all your sorrow, all your hopes, all your fears, all your joys, trusting Jesus with all of that. That's what the 5 wise women had. This is a wise life, an ever-ready life, an oil-filled life, a life of the good oil. And how can you trust this, though? Where do you get this from? How do you trust it? Luther goes on. But then comes about a wondrous change in us. Christ gives himself and his benefits to the heart and takes the heart to himself with all that it has in it, good and bad, and makes it his own. Christ is our innocence and our godliness and our righteousness and our blessedness and every other good thing. Furthermore, Christ has also conquered all the bad stuff: sin, death, darkness, hell, fear, shame, and even the evil one himself. So all of that comes to pass in the person who grasps it, who firmly believes and trusts that he or she becomes in Christ only a conqueror of sin, of death, of hell, and of the devil. Likewise, the innocence of Christ becomes your innocence when the moment comes. So also the godliness and the holiness and the blessedness of Jesus and whatever else there is in him, all of this resides in a receiving, believing heart. So as a result then, our lamps are never burned out. For if we wish to approach God with our own works, no matter how brilliantly they may glisten, no matter how fine they may appear, all is in vain and condemnation. Friends, we are ready, ever ready, if we are with him. If we are trusting him, we're living with him, we're relating with him, we're hearing him, and we're living it in words and deed. If we are reliant on his words, his working, his promises, we are ready. We are ready. And apparently, thankfully, this is also true even when we fall asleep, when the eyelids get heavy and we switch off for a while. Did you notice the 10 virgins, all of them, are not condemned for falling asleep? They're only human, after all. He knows my heavy eyelids. But 5 are shut out, though. This is the hard thing, because they had no living relationship, no reliance, no trust on this Jesus for their real everyday life. How do you know? Well, Jesus tells us, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. He never did, and they never knew him. They just had the outward apparatus. They had the wick, and they had the lamp, but there was no oil in it. They had the outward equipment, as Luther says, but no good oil of love with Jesus, relationship, closeness, listening, word, trust, all that. So, friends, to finish off, parables are meant to prod the heart. How's it going? I wonder what the Holy Spirit is prodding you with today. Am I living with the outward equipment of faith, but have run out of the real trust and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's promised that his present and my presence and my future are still in him, and that shapes my day now before we get there, not just in what I say, but in what I do and what I avoid doing, in the actual decisions you're making this week about whatever, is he there? Am I living a religious life, but not a faith-shaped daily dying and rising life of love in the one who loves me, who's claimed me of all people as one of his bride, who has allowed me into the promised feast already, a foretaste of what's to come? Am I skimming the surface of things and not the heart and the truth of it? These are the questions that came to me. Whoever you are and however you are today, whether you think you're ready or not, the bridegroom's here, and the day of which he speaks will appear. So, if you're running on empty, he knows. He ran himself empty in human suffering for you. And if you are dull and blind, well, he can fix that. He did that for a lot of people, including me standing before you. He does that for you again today. If you're trying to get into the wedding banquet so hard, looking for the good oil in all kinds of places other than this man Jesus, maybe it's time to look again at him. Listen to him. His words will put you back in pole position when the moment comes. And like the Indians at Easter and Christmas, or even at Adelaide Oval at the cricket, His grace and His promised future will put whatever joy you think you now experience in the shade. In the name of Christ, amen. And the peace of God, which is beyond our human understanding, keep you on the way of Christ, headed for the wedding banquet. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petrie Lutheran Church, Nuriutpa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetrie.org.au